All right, folks, welcome to Lecture 44 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the elementary class. This is our last lecture of new material for the calendar year until we return in the new year to continue the story. And we're going to continue to talk about the growth of the colonies, because up till now we've really only covered about 2.5 colonies. We covered Virginia, which began with the settlement in 1607 at Jamestown. And we've covered Massachusetts, which began with the settlement at Plymouth in 1620. And we sort of covered about as much as we could say about Rhode Island, which started in 1636. And so we're just barely here now, like I said, it's about 2.5, 3 colonies into the story. And we are not going to spend an equal amount of time on every colony. There's no way to do that. Just as it would not make sense in doing a history of the United States to spend equal time on all 50 states either. So history is like this, right? We know that there's a lot going on out there in the past, and we cannot give all of it equal attention. Otherwise, we would start in 3000 BC with Menes Narmer, and we would get to about 2900 BC, and then we would be dead, because that's about how long it would take us to get that far, and there'd be nothing else we could study. So, that's certainly not a good approach, right? If we study everything equally, we are in big trouble. There's no way in a human life that you can do that. So, we are, to use an important word, we are selective, right? We know that not everything is equally important in the past. And so definitely Virginia and Massachusetts are the two most important colonies, and we have given them a good amount of attention here. And we do want to talk about a few more. I don't want to just completely ignore the others and pretend that they're not important, but they are not as important. So we'll kind of speed through some of these other colonies, won't necessarily mention anything in particular about New Hampshire or Connecticut here in our story either, but there are other colonies that we need to pay close attention to, especially because, well, what are we interested in learning about the colonies? What is our reason for studying them? That is the important question. When we know what our reason for studying the past is, then we can be choosy in the right way. We can look for the things that matter, but that are the most important. But most important how? To whom? Where? When? Most important. What does that mean to say we're studying the most important facts when we study history? This is a really important question. So think about this. What does it mean to say we can only study the most important ones? Most important to whom? Abby?
To us. To the world we live in today.
There you go. Right. To us, in order to understand the world we live in. We don't live in 1607. So we're not trying to understand the world of 1607 because we don't live there. So, yeah, we want to, not for its own sake, right? What we are trying to do is understand things about the world of 1607 that still matter to us, that still have something to do with our lives and the world that we live in. And these things do matter. Because, you know, how would you put it? How would you try to explain to somebody that, you know, somebody who's studying in a government school, that history matters? How would you try to tell them, studying Jamestown is a good idea? how would you try to explain it to somebody else and say, studying the history of the colonies or colonization is important? How would you express that? Why? What does it tell us about the world we live in now? Does it say anything? What's the connection? What does colonization tell us about our world? Rosetta, can you try that one?
That we would be here if people hadn't come over.
Okay, you're on the right track there, Rosetta. Right, that our world came to be because of colonists. That's right. So here's how I like to put it. Remember how we were saying there would be no United States of America without the discovery of America? Well, we could say something else too, couldn't we? What else could we say? There would be no United States of America without... Complete that sentence. What else could we say? Without what? Jeremy?
States of America.
Without the what?
States of America.
Well, okay, yes, that's true, but the states were first what, Jeremy? Virginia was not a state, it was a...
Colony,
indeed, right. So there would be no United States of America without the colonization of America. So that's why we're interested in studying the colonies, is because the people who came here had to build a life, and eventually they made this place. Eventually, they made a country, which, as it turns out, is the greatest ever. They made a country to protect individual rights. Wow, wonderful thing. So this is the puzzle that is history, is how did that happen? How did that happen? And we've seen that when they came over here, they were not free, these people, and they didn't believe in a lot of the ideas that Americans now think are very important and that are really a part of what America stands for. When people in Europe came to America, they didn't believe that you could make your own life, that you could work the land and create your property and pursue your own happiness. They didn't believe that. They didn't really think that. I mean, the land. We just have a little noise problem over here. Sorry about that. Okay, so, they didn't believe in... Everybody calm down. Sorry, we had a distraction over here. But we're going to take a breath and come back. All right, so, get back to my theme here. They didn't believe that you could have your own land and grow to be this happy person who owns his own land and is in charge of his own life until somebody invented the headright system and people started coming over. So we have this new, wonderful change that's just like a seed of liberty. And likewise, when the Puritans came to Massachusetts, they didn't believe in religious freedom. They were escaping persecution, but when anybody showed up that was different than them, they persecuted them too. Now, this then led to a new seed of freedom. People who were forced out of Massachusetts, such as Roger Williams in 1636, founded new colonies, Rhode Island, that was dedicated to religious freedom. So we start to see that what happens is these people are coming over from Europe and they're trying to make a new life. They still are the people that they were. It doesn't make sense for us to imagine that, for instance, they would just come from Europe and all of a sudden they are Americans. Right? That doesn't happen. They were Europeans. Just like Columbus didn't come over here and all of a sudden teach the natives democracy. Columbus didn't believe in democracy. He was from Spain. Well, he was Italian, but he sailed for Spain. He didn't know anything about that. So in a lot of ways, the people who are coming over here for the first time, they don't look an awful lot like us. Or they don't think an awful lot like us. They're still Europeans. But what's happening is, because they're coming to America, they are starting to behave differently. They're starting to experience new things, ask new questions, and have a chance to live in a new way, and changes are starting to happen. And luckily for us, changes for the better. This place where they were and the lives that they had to lead were leading them to a better way of life. That's the good news. And part of this is the story of religious freedom in the colonies. And today I want to focus, one of the colonies I want to talk about more is the colony of Maryland. So hopefully you guys are studying your geography maps and you're getting all comfortable with the colonies. And I promise you that on the next test, by the way, you will have a map of the 13 colonies on the test. The history test, not a geography test. The history test will have a map of the 13 colonies, so you'll have a chance to write out the names of the 13 colonies. Well, so let's talk about Maryland, which is a really interesting story. And it's also connected to the story of Massachusetts and the other colonies around in the Americas at this time. So we have to go back to England and think about what was going on there. And we have to go back to our king, Charles I. Now, who can remind me about this character, Charles I? Remember, the Puritans were escaping from him. They did not like him because he would not allow them to have Calvinism in England. And Charles I said, I am the king and therefore I have a what? What is the special status of the king, the special right of the king to tell everybody else how to live? Nemo?
Divine right.
Yeah, the divine right, exactly. Not a lot of people like that. Let's see how well they're going to tolerate that when Charles I marries a French princess. Uh-oh. Well, which one do you think is stronger? The divine right of kings or France, worst enemy forever? Well, Abby, that's not a real question, but what, you want to guess anyway?
France.
The hatred of France? That's a pretty good guess. I mean, it was making Charles more unpopular, but not quite enough yet to get him in total trouble with the people. He's getting there. He's getting there. But he is getting in trouble with the people, but he had some allies who were still on his side, and one of them was a friend of his named George Calvert. I guess I can type that in for those of you who want to have his name. I can type that in the chat box for everybody. So, George Calvert. And George Calvert's title was Lord Baltimore. Does that sound familiar to anybody? That name? Hopefully somebody has studied some geography. Anybody studied some geography? You haven't? Jeremy, you're not supposed to admit that. Or it's just not familiar to you, or you forget, huh? Baltimore, doesn't that sound familiar to somebody? All right, Abby.
It sounds familiar to me. I'm not exactly quite
quite sure where it is. If it's on the maps that I've done so far, I'll have to look back at the map.
Oh, yeah, we're going to need some review because Caleb thinks Baltimore's a state. Uh-oh. Man, oh, man, you guys got to do some geography review. Baltimore's not a state. Rosetta?
Isn't it a town in Maryland?
Yeah, it's the capital of Maryland, okay? So we have to be very careful. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It's not. Annapolis is the capital. But Baltimore is a very important city in Maryland. All right, so, anyway, I guess not everybody knows that. Oh my gosh, Patrick, don't do that. That's terrible. Okay, so, so Baltimore is it's a well-known city in America, but I guess not by everybody, so that's okay. So, Lord Baltimore, Baltimore was first a place in Ireland, and Lord Baltimore was a friend of the king and supported him. So, as a reward, the king said, I'm going to take a chunk of Virginia and give it to you. So, now, if you look at your maps of Virginia, go back to your week one geography maps, you can see that while there are kind of straight lines going across the bottom of Virginia, straight lines across the top of Maryland, and well, so he took a chunk out of that, and he said, I'm going to make a new place just for you, my friend, and so you can go make a colony over there. So George Calvert received Maryland. Now, this by itself is not that interesting, just the fact that a king would give one of his friends a colony. What is interesting is that Lord Baltimore was secretly Catholic. Aha. This is where the story of Maryland becomes interesting. Lord Baltimore was secretly Catholic. So, in his mind, creating a colony in America was going to be a secret project to help people who were English and who were Catholic go to a place where they could be Catholics and not be persecuted. Huh. So this is becoming interesting because you see we have in Virginia, we have Anglicans. And in Massachusetts, we have Calvinists or Puritans. And now in Maryland, we're going to have Catholics. But more than that, right? In Rhode Island, you can choose whatever you want. But in Maryland, as it turns out, it's going to be that way as well. George Calvert realized that, well, he might be friends with the king, but creating a colony just for Catholics was not going to be allowed. That was certainly true. Even if the king had a Catholic wife from France, the king was not Catholic, and English people wanted to only Anglicanism. So, in order not to get into trouble, he made it so that in Maryland, you could be a Catholic or an Anglican. It was the first colony where it was a part of the idea of the colony that people of different Christian beliefs would live side by side. And what do we call that when you live next to somebody that has a different point of view from you? And especially if it's a different religious belief in this time in history, and you don't necessarily like it, but you put up with it. What do we call this? Putting up with people of another religious belief. What do we call that? Very important vocabulary word. Caleb?
Tolerating it.
Toleration. Right, exactly. Let me type that one for you guys as well. Toleration. Religious toleration in particular. Right, so Maryland became a colony of religious toleration as well. Kind of by a strange way, right? Because there was a friend of the king who was secretly a Catholic, and he managed to start the colony for Catholics, but the Anglicans, he could not keep them out, and so he started his colony as a colony for both. And, well, at first that was successful. Now, what came next, though, made the situation for everybody difficult. Back in England, the king, who is now a divine right king, people don't like that. He is married to a French princess. And he is being a tyrant over the people of England and taxing them more and more to pay for wars in Europe. Well, the people now are going to rebel against him back in England, and there is going to be a civil war led by the Puritans. So now, normally in American history, we're not going to talk a lot about what's going on back in Europe. But in this particular case, it matters for us to stop for a second and go back to things that were going on in England. And here's a painting, kind of a neat one that we might do in History Through Art, except it's kind of sad if you're looking at parts of it that might make you sad. It's a painting of the Civil War back in England. And the Puritan leader here in the center of the painting on horseback is a man named Oliver Cromwell. So the Calvinists had decided to rebel against the king, and some other people in England also believed in rebelling against the king because he was a divine right tyrant married to a French princess, taxing them so much. So there was a civil war against the king. And they defeated him. They defeated the king, and here's a later painting showing Oliver Cromwell standing over the body of the English king. Ooh. So in fact, Charles I was killed in the Civil War. And for a short period of time, the Calvinists took over England. Oliver Cromwell was a Calvinist. A Puritan? The Puritans were in charge. So because of this, another important change happened. Not just, it happened in the colonies, but it also happened back in England. Because of this, Calvinism became accepted in England. England became a place where you could be an Anglican or you could be a Calvinist. And pretty soon, other kinds became accepted as well. Now, Catholics, they were going to be in more trouble than most, because all of the Protestants agreed that the Pope was wrong, and so being a Catholic was not easy. And so when Maryland was founded, and here's kind of a nice, pretty painting of the settlers, the Catholic settlers creating Maryland. When Maryland was founded, well, Charles I was still alive, but after he was killed, then George Calvert had to accept anybody who was a Christian in Maryland. In fact, it became part of the laws of the colony of Maryland that anybody who's a Christian can go to Maryland and practice their religion openly. Now that's a whole new change, something that you didn't find back in Europe, and something that, well, because things were going badly back in Europe, something that a very positive change for America. Okay, so now we're finding, by the time we get to these colonies, we're getting to Maryland, let's go back to our timeline for a second. Virginia, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Connecticut. In all of these colonies, by the time of the English Civil War, it's becoming more and more the case that you can have pretty much any Christian belief. It's going to take more time. We've got to keep going down here. Oh, I don't want to show this just yet. It's becoming more the case that people of different Christian beliefs are allowed to live in America and are not attacking each other for their different beliefs. But that's not the same thing as accepting people of a different country. So in the next part of our story, in the next chapters of our story of the colonies, what we're going to see is that, well, the English were not the only ones. The English were not the only ones in the colonies. Let's go back to this here, and I'll see if you can tell me who else was there. Now, deciphering this map can be pretty tricky, but let me help you do it. Now, hopefully you guys are getting to know your geography. What's this up here? this section of the coast with the elephant trunk. Quiet, Henry. Oh, there goes your sound again. Okay, Patrick, go ahead.
Cape Cod?
Well, yes, but what is the colony? That's true, that's the Cape. A Cape is an area that sticks
Massachusetts.
Out. Massachusetts, right? Or as it says here on the map, let's zoom in for a second. As it says here on the map, New England. That's not English. Why does it say New England? Wait a minute. Over here, what does it say? Oh, Virginia. All right. So, okay, who's writing this map? Maybe we can get a hint by seeing what it says here. Who's making this map? Abby?
Is it Spain?
No. Nice try. Noia. Nederland. What would that be, perhaps? Rosetta?
Either the Portuguese or the French.
Oh, neither! Nice try, because they are both of them creating settlements in the Americas. But there is a country called Nederland. Sigourney? Yes, the Netherlands, right, which is not a country that we've talked about up till now. Well, because it didn't exist. The Netherlands didn't exist up until now. But if we go back to Europe for a minute and start in 1648 even before 1648 and look over here, I'll show you where Netherlands was back in Europe. We know this is France. We know this is Spain and Portugal and England over here. Okay, this purple one here is Netherlands. Okay, a small country in Northern Europe. It didn't exist except that its people had rebelled against the Holy Roman Empire and become their own country. And in fact, not only had they become their own country, look over on the right-hand side. We see purple over here. Notice what you see on the right-hand side. Purple here. Purple here. Purple here, 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 all over the place, on every continent in the world practically. The Dutch had created colonies, including...
There.
Right there, New Netherlands. So in between the English colonies, the Dutch had created a colony called New Netherlands. That's what this is. But now, tell me what this eventually became. What is this Long Island here a part of? What is this island at the tip of the Hudson River? Who knows their geography of the middle states, the mid-Atlantic states? What is this place? Nemo? I'm sorry. Nemo, unmute yourself. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Are we having sound issues? Let's see here. I may be having a little malfunction. Nemo, try speaking up. All right, let me try somebody else. Abby, go ahead.
Sorry, I just realized I didn't have my hand raised. It's New York.
Okay, New York. Yeah, well, we are having sound issues, but all right, we'll just try to proceed here because we don't have much more to go. So, not surprisingly, because... Now, I got to go back to my shared screen here again. Not surprisingly, the Netherlands were very successful in making colonies around the world. And I'm trying to bring back the map of what they did. So, they were rivals of the English. And the English... did not want to buy, remember, if you had colonies, then you could bring stuff back to Europe and sell it to everyone else. And the English didn't want to buy things from the Dutch, so they fought wars against them. They fought wars against them and any other country that was trying to create colonies around the world. So pretty soon, as you can tell from the difference, if we look here 1648, and then we look down here 1700, no more New Netherlands. Instead, New Netherlands had become New York. But what do you see? What do you see? I mean, New Netherlands is gone, but look down here in 17, look at America in 1700 and tell me what you see. There certainly are English colonies in pink, but now what do you see? Not just pink, that's for sure. Wyatt, Henry? France is taking over America. Oh, no. Look at that. This is light blue, right? This is France. Yep, France had also created a settlement called Quebec. Now, yeah, we have Spain down here as well, right? And what's Mexico? And we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, more importantly for the English is here they are trying to make their colonies along the coast of America. And meanwhile, the French are sneaking behind them and taking over everything inside. So we're getting this huge colony called New France, including a place that's named after King Louis of France. Anybody know what it's called? Who's done their estates all the way to that part of the country? Rosetta?
Louisiana.
Louisiana, yes, where people still speak a pretty hilarious form of French. Yes, so, and so, yeah, now what's going on? Oh my gosh. Now, if Spain and France and England are all trying to take over North America, well, doesn't take a genius to know what's going to happen next. Patrick?
Well, France and England are there, Spain, and you can see that so is Portugal.
True enough, but what's going to happen next is my question.
War.
Good prediction. Oh, no. Indeed. So we're going to be getting to the story now of, well, the war, what are called colonial wars. So we're gonna, sometimes they're called the French and Indian Wars as well, because the colonists, as the more and more of them that there were, not surprisingly, the Indians realized, or they were called the Indians at the time, so now we call them Natives, or Native Americans, so the Natives were growing more and more fearful of the colonists, because it's not such a big deal if you're an Indian tribe and, well, there's 100 Puritans in your neighborhood. Not a big deal. But what happens when the great Puritan migration occurs and there's 30,000? Now there's more of them than there are of you. And there are huge colonies all along the coast. Well, not surprisingly, the native tribes did their best to try to expel the English and failed in their wars. But now there's also going to be the French, it's going to be the Spanish, there are the English, all trying to take over the same territory. And yes, we are going to get colonial wars. The colonial wars will be the thing that we return to as we come back to the story of the colonies. And we'll see that, well, the English are going to win. Let's see if I can show you without giving away too much. Yes, I can. Here we go. Look at this. Who's going to win? I can show you all the way down to here, and that's it. But this is the part that matters. Too bad for France. Who's going to win, Rosetta?
The English.
The English are going to win, except... Anybody see anything interesting? England is going to win, but then what happens? Fighting wars is expensive. Those colonists over there have got to pay for it. We're going to tax them. Oh, really? We'll get to the story of the birth of America. The rebellion of the colonists, even against England, against their own mother country, not wanting to be ruled by England any longer. It's coming. We will get to, when we return in the new year, the birth of the United States. All right, folks. That's all we have time for. And so, I look forward to history through art with y'all tomorrow. And then a nice, wonderful Christmas break. Bye for now, folks.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.